So during World War II, there was a general named MacArthur.
And he had asked a particular engineer, you know, how long it would take for him to build a bridge across a certain river. And this engineer said, oh, it's about 3 days. About 3 days we can build this bridge. And the engineer was told to go ahead and build this bridge and draw up the plans for it. 3 days later, General MacArthur asked the engineer for the plans of this bridge. And the engineer seemed surprised. And he's like, oh, the bridge is completed. The bridge is ready. You can cross it right now. But if you want the plans now, then you have to wait a little bit longer. We haven't finished those yet. So apparently he built this bridge without even having plans in the first place. Now, I think a lot of us may be like this engineer. You like to take action without really having a particular plan. And you like to make it up later. You like to essentially live life on the edge, okay? In other words, YOLO, okay? But then I know, like for other people, you like to be more organized. You like to plan out your schedule, plan out your life, and go follow everything according to that schedule. So I want to take a quick poll here. Raise your hand if you are someone who just likes to live life on the edge and just you don't like to plan. Okay. And raise your hand if you are an organized person, you like to plan out everything, you can't work without having like a plan or a schedule. Okay, so it's almost about half and half. But whether you are a planner or not, you know, I guess it doesn't really matter too much, but in both of these cases, we have the danger of falling into pride, okay? We can be prideful in the way that we think and we plan. Because in one way, you can say, okay, I am a planner. I want to be able to make sure everything goes exactly the way that happens and according to my plan. That is pride. And you expect everything to go the way that you expect. But on the other hand, if you're someone who doesn't like to plan and just lives life on the edge, you also have the same level of pride because you also don't make plans, but you expect everything to somehow go things in the same way that, or the way that you expect. So again, we are in a sermon series through the book of James that's entitled Wisdom from Above. In other words, Wisdom from God. James, the writer of this book, wants to share wisdom from God concerning about how we can be loyal and devoted to Him. So this is the 10th sermon in this series of Wisdom from Above. And last week, you may remember that we had talked about pride in our speech. Remember, James had said that in order to receive God's grace, we need to be humble. So that's why he had to first address about pride in our speech. But as we approach today's passage, we'll see that James now talks about pride in our planning. So this is where we will be today in James chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to take them out. Turn with me, James chapter 4, and we're going to be focusing today on verses 13 to 17. James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17, focusing on prideful planning. Please follow along as I read. Starting from verse 13. James says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such or such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. But yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." This is the word of the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer now. Heavenly Father, again, it's another Sunday that we come before you to worship you, to learn from your word, and we ask that you would teach us. Lord, as we had just like discussed about like this morning, some of us are planners and love to go by our schedule and go by the books, whereas other of us maybe just like to live life on the edge and not have a plan. But Lord, regardless of where we see ourselves, we again have an element of pride. This may be part of our human sinful nature that is in us. Lord, help us to see what is the appropriate way for us to make our plans and to schedule things in a way that honors and glorifies you. Because again, we want to see how we can be able to respect you. We want to be able to see how we can receive the grace that you have given to us if we are humble and are not prideful. Father, we pray that you would teach us and be with us for today. We lift up these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. So for today, we're going to be answering three questions, okay? So you can write these questions down if you'd like to take notes. So the first question that we're going to answer is this: when does our planning become prideful? Okay, so when does our planning become prideful? Then we're going to move on to our second question. Then, why is our prideful planning inappropriate before God? Okay, number two, why is our prideful planning inappropriate before God? And then we'll move on to our third question. How can we overcome prideful planning? Okay, how can we overcome prideful planning? So again, those three questions. Number one, when does our planning become prideful? Number two, why is our prideful planning inappropriate before God? And number three, how can we overcome prideful planning? Okay, so let's start with the first question. When does our planning become prideful? So here in the beginning of this passage, right in verse 13, James starts this off by saying two words. He says, verse 13, come now. Come now. So it's an invitation to, in calling those who are planners, calling those who to pay attention to what he is about to say. So this applies to us right now. If you are a planner, if you like to try to be very organized and have control of your life, pay attention. Come now. And what does James say? Let's read on. Verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. So here, James goes on and he gives an example of a common, you know, Christian Jewish merchant who loves to plan for his business. No, someone who likes to be very organized. And here you have to notice something here. James uses the future indicative verbs in the Greek to talk about this. So in other words, it's like the future tense. So verse 13, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and we will trade and make a profit. So, I mean, it's sort of implied here, but you see here it says, we will go into such and such a town. But then later on, it also has the word for spend. And we will spend a year there and trade. And also, we will make a profit. So you have this will, future tense. So those who are planning like this is essentially being very presumptuous. These people think that they have control of their lives. These people think that they can be able to predict their own future and essentially have full confidence in themselves that they can make their plans and have their plans go exactly the way it is. And I think a lot of us sometimes plan that way. I think a lot of us, when we make plans, when we feel organized, we sort of have this expectations that everything will go according to our way. So let's answer our first question. When does our planning become prideful? Our planning becomes prideful when we do so while putting our confidence in ourselves. I'll say that again. Our planning becomes prideful when we do so while putting our confidence in ourselves. So let's talk about some particular examples, modern day examples, of how you may plan. Oh, you may be thinking, oh, I will go into this college after I graduate high school. And then I'll finish college, top of my class, and then I will go get a job that is so good and it'll make me have like a five-figure salary. Now, some of you may plan that way and use the future indicative verbs, like the will. Or some of you say, oh, I will stay in this job for this many number of years and hopefully be promoted to manager one day. Or I will go and have an internship this summer. Or I will go later, hang out with my friends today and go to the mall and then we'll see a movie. Or maybe, oh, I will join the tennis team. I will join this particular club. I will become the class president. You know, we all make plans like this sometimes and we say will. And oftentimes when we do this, we have this confidence in ourselves. But James here is saying that this type of planning is prideful planning. It's very boastful because we're mainly putting confidence solely in ourselves. By planning this way, we're no different than the merchants that James talks about here in this passage. They're being presumptuous, they're predicting the future, and they have prideful confidence. You know, it is not wrong for us to make plans. It's not wrong for us to be organized. But this, again, becomes an issue when we put our confidence in ourselves. So think about it this way. I encourage you, whenever you make plans of any kind, whether you're just planning out your schedule for this coming week, or whether you're planning like your vacation this coming summer, or whether you're planning on like making a big life-changing decision, whatever that type of planning is, stop first and examine yourself. Look into your heart. Are you planning and putting full confidence in yourself in trying to make these plans happen? Are you planning pridefully? You see, if we want to address our issue of pride, the first step is to really recognize that we have this issue of pride in us, especially in the area of planning. So again, when does our planning become prideful? Our planning becomes prideful when we do so while putting our confidence in ourselves. So now let's move on to our second question that we'll address. Number two, why? Why is our prideful planning inappropriate before God? And actually, I'll give you the answer to this one right away. So why is our prideful planning inappropriate before God? Our prideful planning is inappropriate before God because we do not have control over our lives. Say it one more time. Our prideful planning is inappropriate before God because we do not have control over our lives. Let's read the first part in verse 14. James says, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring." You don't know what tomorrow will bring. So how many of you would know what's going to happen tomorrow? I think some people will have a good idea of what may happen, but you don't have 100% certainty that this thing will happen the exactly way that you had thought it would be. Yeah, we don't know about what will happen in the future. We have all have experience where we made a plan and then plans change. Things don't really go the way that we had expected to be. See, this shows that we don't have full control over anything. If we really had full control over our lives and what's going to happen, then really nothing will ever go wrong. But you see, we're not in control. Only God is the one who is in control of our lives. So I guess like the main joke in seminary is that 90% of your sermon illustrations will be about your children. So now that I have a daughter, brace yourselves. You're probably going to get a lot of those. So many of you know that baby Olive, she was born last Saturday on the 1st of December. Her due date was actually on November 26th. So at that time, like Joyce and I, like we wanted Olive to be born early. You know, because, you know, Sophia's baby, you know, she was born like about a week early. Also, Jimmy and Rebecca's baby was also born early. So, and, you know, Joyce and I, we wanted our babies to be born a little bit earlier too. And like my whole family from Boston had, like, they were here in Albany visiting, and they're here like 2 weeks prior to the baby's due date, thinking that the baby would come. So we sort of had this pressure, like, oh, before my family comes back home, we really want the baby to come out. We thought we have control over this issue. So we tried many different ways to try to get the baby to come out. So first we tried spicy food, but that didn't really work out too well. We tried doing like, there's particularly like acupuncture, like if you hit like certain pressure points, supposedly people say that the baby will be born like afterwards, like if you push on those points long enough. That didn't work either. What else did we try? Jumping jacks. We tried like moving on the birthing ball, but nothing had seemed to work. So, I mean, this goes to show that, you know, we thought that we can have control over when the baby was going to be born, but no, we don't have control over anything. Only God is in control. But at least, like, thankfully, like, on the day where, like, my family was going to go back to Boston, actually, the night before Joyce's water broke, and then we had to go to the hospital. So thankfully that happened, and my parents decided to stay a couple of days after the baby was born. So again, question number two, why is prideful planning inappropriate before God? As we said, our prideful planning is inappropriate before God because we do not have control over our lives. So let's read the rest of verse 14. James says, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring." And he says, "What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then just vanishes." So it's not only that we have no control over our life, because God is in control, but we don't have control to the point that we don't even know whether we are going to live tomorrow. Serious. I want us to understand that life actually is very short. It's just a brief moment in time. And you see, James here, he uses an illustration about a mist that just disappears immediately. No, in Palestine at that time, no, the climate is very, very hot. So hot that when water droplets would form due to condensation, like in the air formed from like closer to the sea, the condensation, the mist, would just disappear very quickly. Now, this is how our life is described as. One moment we're there, and then the next moment we are gone. So I think like many of us would think, oh, I'm very young. I have many years ahead of me. Well, that may be true, but if you think about it, if we are fortunate even to live until 90 years old, no, our life will actually go by very quickly, and it will be very short. Do you know how it feels like each year of our life that goes by, it feels like it goes by faster than the previous years? You know, like when you're in elementary school, one whole school day felt like an eternity. But now, like, middle school, high school, 1 week goes by very quickly. And then now as an adult, a year can just go by like that. 10 years can just go by like that. And then before you know it, you'll be close to the end of your life. Our life is very short and very brief. As James talks here, a mist that just disappears just like that. So we don't know whether we will live tomorrow. You know, that's why James is saying that it's inappropriate. It's inappropriate for us to plan pridefully because we don't even know whether we'll live tomorrow. We have no control over our life. So recently, I was actually very shocked to have found out that actually last month, there was someone who I knew in my youth group growing up in Boston and in the church that I grew up in, and he apparently had passed away. Now, he was just a few years younger than me. He had graduated college, found a job, and he was traveling abroad in New Zealand when there was a very horrific car accident that took his life. Now, I continue to pray for his family and friends that were affected by this. But, I mean, I was shocked to hear about this, like, because I knew him. You know, we were just a few years apart, and he's so young. I mean, I share this to really show the reality of how brief and how short our lives can be. How do we know whether we will live tomorrow? You know, I mean, no, this may sound like very sad and depressing. You know, James' point here shows, again, is that it's inappropriate to plan pridefully. Being confident in ourselves and thinking that we have complete control over our lives, because in reality we do not, only God does. So again, why is our prideful planning inappropriate before God? Our prideful planning is inappropriate before God because we do not have control over our lives. So what is my plan for the rest of today? No, I'll share that with you. Now, after the worship today, I can say, oh, I will have lunch, and then I will attend a Chinese co-workers meeting, and then I will attend a deacon board's meeting, which will probably last until 5 and hopefully not 6 o'clock. And then I will go shopping, and then I'll finally go home. I don't know what time that will be to have dinner, and finally spend some time with the rest of my family since I haven't seen them for the whole day. You know, again, I can say this, I can plan this, but this can be seen as prideful planning because my plan can change. What if I needed to talk with a church member during lunch and that ran into some of the meetings that I have? What if I had a changing plan? Like, actually, what if I didn't even make it back home? What if I had a car accident on the way back home? I don't know that. No, deep beyond our control. So that's why we shouldn't plan pridefully. So then, what is the solution then? What is the solution to prideful planning? So this will bring us to our third question that we'll answer. So question number three, how can we overcome prideful planning? And actually, I'll give you the answer to this one as well right away. So how can we overcome prideful planning? We can overcome prideful planning by maintaining a perspective of God's will. I'll say it one more time. We can overcome prideful planning by maintaining a perspective of God's will. So we'll see that here in verse 15, James chapter 4. James says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. If the Lord wills, we will do this or that. So again, we don't have control over our lives, but God does. And again, James isn't saying that we shouldn't plan at all. And in fact, he encourages us to plan. We should plan, but rather, as we are planning, we should plan and we should remember to submit to God's will. Since God is the only one who's sovereign. God is the only one who's in control of everything. So as a result, when we plan, we should say this. We should say, if the Lord wills. Or in other words, Lord willing. So this is my encouragement for all of us, not only here in the English congregation, but for our whole church. I want us to develop a Christian culture in our church where we are saying, Lord willing. Okay? So we're adding this phrase, Lord willing, into our vocabulary, especially when we're planning, especially when we're talking about our future. So for me, what is my plan for today? I can say, Lord willing, I will go to the Chinese coworkers meeting after lunch. Lord willing, I would then attend the deacon board meeting. Lord willing, I will go back home safely to my family. So we can apply this in any type of short-term plans that you may have. Let's say today, you say, oh, Lord willing, I'm gonna go get bubble tea after church with some people. Or Lord willing, I'm gonna go to Chinese school unless I plan to skip it or something. Or Lord willing, I probably have to go back home and study and prepare for like school tomorrow. Or Lord willing, I'm gonna try to get some rest before another work week tomorrow. So whatever you're gonna do today, whatever you're gonna do recently, say Lord willing for your short-term plans. But not only that, also say Lord willing for any type of long-term plans that you may have as well. You can say, Lord willing, next year I will attend this particular college. Lord willing, I will work in this company for this internship this summer. Lord willing, I'll start my own business. Lord willing, I'll graduate school. Lord willing, I will serve in this ministry in church. Or Lord willing, I'll get married to this particular person. Use this phrase, Lord willing, in our vocabulary. And actually, you may remember last week, at the end of last week's sermon, you may have remembered that I said, Lord willing, the following week, again, that will be today, we will be in James chapter 4, 13 to 17, talking about prideful planning. So use this vocabulary in our words. Why is this important? See, by saying Lord willing, we are removing any type of pride, any type of confidence that is in ourselves when we plan, and we submit to God's will for us. Again, how can we overcome prideful planning? We can overcome prideful planning by maintaining a perspective of God's will. Let's read verse 15 again. James says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. So here, not only are we relying on God about what we will do, whether it's this or that, but also we need to rely on God on whether we will live. Look, it says, if the Lord wills, we will live. So I hope that we have to recognize that the days of our lives are numbered. No, we need to depend on and rely on God to be the one who sustains our lives. There's no guarantee that we will be around tomorrow. So that's why we should thank God every single day for the day that he has given us to live. And actually, I heard something cheesy. I don't really like it, but I'll say it anyways. It says, quote, each day is a gift from God. That is why it is called a present. End quote.
Ah, ha, 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 yeah.
I don't like it. Another picture that I want to give us, to at least to think about. I think like our Christian life is almost as if we are driving a car and planning out where to go and how. But in this life of driving, is God at the driver's seat? You know, if we are sitting in the passenger seat, no, we shouldn't really be doing any type of backseat driving and telling the driver where to go. Because like that really gets really annoying. No, I had that like before. Like I'll be the driver, and then some particular person who's next to me, who I shall not name, will be telling me, "Oh, you should go this way. This way is better. Go to that's backseat driving." It's kind of annoying. But you know, that's sort of the picture that we have. You know, when we make our own plans, we think that we are in the driver's seat and we're in control of our life. But really, are we submitting to the will of the divine driver? Are we submitting our will to God's will, who is in control of our life? Or maybe you want to say, okay, I want to be the driver in this illustration. Okay, cool. Let's say that you're the driver, but then God is like our GPS. So sometimes when I drive and I have my GPS set up, going to some place where I've never been before, the GPS will tell me to go a certain like highway, a certain route, and then I question it and be like, I don't think this is really the best way. You know, I think I'm going to go this other way instead. And what happens? I end up getting lost, and I end up being like very late to my destination because I don't really trust in the GPS. Yes, I know that GPS can sometimes bring us the wrong way or doesn't give us the best way, but if God is our GPS in our life, God will never make mistakes. God also always knows what is the best route, always knows what's the best destination and how to get there. That's why we can always trust in God and submit to his will. That's why we can be able to plan and say, Lord willing. Saying Lord willing takes a level of humility in our life. So I'm going to share Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. It says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." So I think this verse should actually give us some encouragement, because we shouldn't be afraid of the future. We shouldn't be afraid of the unknown. So therefore, go. Go and make plans. But as you make plans, know that God has a good and perfect plan for you, his will. Make plans, but say, Lord willing. Do so while depending and trusting in God, especially for the fact that you will be living tomorrow, for the fact that you'll be living in the next couple of years. And I think we also find comfort because even when things don't go the way that we expect, even when things don't go the way that we plan, we know that we can't be upset because we know that whatever happens is a part of God's will and part of God's perfect plan, even though at that particular moment, it may not really seem like that at all. But nonetheless, are we trusting and depending in God to be in control of our life? Are we submitting to his will? So let us review everything that we have learned from this passage today. So again, we had answered three main questions. So let's review those. The first question that we asked, when does our planning become prideful? We said, our planning becomes prideful when we do so while putting confidence in ourselves. When we plan, we put confidence in ourselves and we say, oh, we will do this, then we will do that, we'll stay here, and then we'll move there, and we'll accomplish this, accomplish that. That is prideful planning, putting confidence in ourselves only. Then we answered our question number two. Why is our prideful planning inappropriate before God? And as we said, our prideful planning is inappropriate before God because we do not have control over our lives. Our lives is very brief, very short. We need to depend on God that we'll live tomorrow. Our lives are just a mist that will just disappear very quickly. But only God is in control. And then finally, we had answered question number three. How can we overcome prideful planning? And as we just said, we can overcome prideful planning by maintaining a perspective of God's will. Is God in the driver's seat of our life? Are we listening to God as the GPS of our life? Let's finish this passage reading from verse 16. James says, "As it is, you boast in your arrogance. all such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So James ends this section by giving us a general reminder that, you know, if we know that something is right before God and then we don't do it, you know, it is considered sin. So this closes off the section not only about pride in our planning, but also closes off the section from last week's sermon about pride in our speech. And actually, even of everything that James has talked about so far in this epistle. So the encouragement for us is that we can practice humility in our planning and as a result, not sin. So we have a couple of options when it comes to planning. So we can make the best plans in our life and try to carry them out with our own strength. But again, this is prideful and this is sin. Or we can make careful plans and ask God to bless these plans according to his will. So that's the second option we can take when it comes to planning. But actually, I would say that there is a third option when it comes to planning. This option comes from Hudson Taylor. You may know him as a famous missionary to China. He said this, quote, "Yet another way of working is to begin with God, to ask his plans, and to offer ourselves to him to carry out his purposes," end quote. So here, Hudson Taylor is saying that instead of starting with our own plans, why not start off by asking God what is his plan, what is his will, and make your plans according to God's will. I think that is a third option that we can take, especially if we want to be devoted and loyal to God. Either way, no matter what way we do, we need a level of humility when we plan. So again, last week we had talked about humility in our speech. And remember, James is addressing humility in our speech and in our planning because, you know, back in verse 6 of chapter 4, no, it says this, "God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble." So we need humility to receive God's undeserved grace for us. So let us practice humility in our planning by saying, "Lord willing." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, thank you for humbling us today as we heard from your word. Lord, we've learned so much through this sermon series through James, and we recognize that there's a lot in our lives. It may seem like very practical, seems like we need to do this, need to do that, but Lord, we need to submit to your will in order to effectively do that. We need a level of humility. We need to trust that this is really wisdom from above in order to know how to be loyal and devoted to you. Father, I pray that you would help us as we go on in this life to make plans. To make plans that are according to your will. To make plans by saying, "Lord willing," or "as the Lord wills." To be able to recognize that we are prideful and we want to repent of that. We want to lay those down. Father, may we encourage each other. May we remind one another in our speech as we say, "Lord willing." Lord, we submit to your will, and we love you, and we know that you have a good and perfect plan for our life as we seek to glorify you and honor you. Father, be with us, Lord. We lift up these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.